Today's episode is brought to you by Creator Blessed. Learn more later in the show.
As Catholics, how are we to interact with stuff? Find out today as we bring you one of the most popular sessions of last year's Catholic Money Summit. Get access to the rest of the over 40 sessions at CatholicMoneySummit.com.
Welcome back to this interview of the Catholic Money Summit. You might notice that there is a little bit of a different setup here, and that's because I actually have our guest in studio. Katie Seba is here with me in the Wallowin studio, and we get to record this in person because we happen to live in the same city. So welcome to the summit, Katie.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is pretty exciting. It's great.
And I can't wait to dive into this topic.
Yes.
We are covering Catholic minimalism and just all the ways that looks. But before we dive into the juicy details of what that looks like, can you kind of explain your own journey of how you even stumbled into this and how it's been transforming your own life?
Yeah. So years ago, I think maybe 12 years ago, maybe even 15, I was focusing a lot on the idea of quality versus quantity. And I noticed that I had a lot of stuff, and I had a lot of stuff that was even like repeat, you know, when back in the day of making like a mix CD.
Oh, you remember right.
Making mix CDs?
Yeah.
Now they're called playlists.
Yeah.
But I would always end up putting like the same songs on different mix CDs because it was the same thing that I liked, right? So I would, and that was the same thing in my material possessions too. Mm-hmm. If I liked something, then it showed up over and over again. And I was expecting our third son, and we had a big announcement party. We invited family over to the house and surprised everyone with saying, you know, we're having baby number three. And everyone was so excited. A family member came up to me and she said, so are y'all going to move? And because
you were kind of in like the first home that you'd picked into at this point.
We were in our very first home that we purchased. It was 1,200 square feet in Louisiana, no basement. And it was an older home, so the storage was minimal.
Sure.
And I thought, oh gosh, do we have to move? I guess we have to move. And I felt through just this thought process, I felt this pressure. Mm. Like, oh, now we're having our third, so we have to get out of here and move into a bigger house. But then I realized this is the home that my husband can provide. We're a single income family. And so I'm going to not only make this home work for us, I'm going to make it ideal. I'm going to make this look like it's the perfect size for our family. And I started looking online, like simplifying, and I ended up finding some really great blogs that put into words sentiments that I had had for years, especially putting back to quality over quantity. And then the more I was digging, the more I found emphasis on this quality. Mm-hmm. And how living simply materially yields a really beautiful life. So I was very methodical about it. I made a list of all of the rooms in our house, which again, it was a small house, so it wasn't a really long list. And I went into each room and it would address one corner at a time. Or if it wasn't a corner, it was a portion of a wall at a time. And just checking things off. Plus, I was pregnant, so I was super jazzed to like nest.
Yeah.
And it was really wonderful to see what the transformation was. Our living room was flooded with toddler toys at that time. And even though it was a small living room, with so many toys, it took us forever to clean up. Mm. And our children were too young to really be helpful in that regard. So cleaning up at night in just one room was imposing on my time with my husband, imposing on any kind of rest that I needed as someone who was pregnant. And I needed that chill time. After I purged just the living room, cleanup time went from 45 minutes to 5 minutes. And I realized, my gosh, this is amazing. Look at the time it's giving me. And my boys wanted to play in the living room so much more because it
wasn't a whole bit of stuff.
Yeah. So thinking of minimalism in terms of material possessions really opened my eyes up to what I called the John 10:10 life, right? The Lord said to us, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. And I've discovered very personally that in having fewer possessions, we live in a small home now intentionally, and having these small, simple things, the quality of life that we have is enormous. And I love it and I'm humbled by it. It's not something that comes from me, but I believe that living simply is a divine call. So specifically, I love the story of the rich young man. In any talk I give, wherever I go for speaking, I always bring up the rich young man because there's so much in that story. And truly, I find it to be one of the most heartbreaking of the gospel stories, outside of the crucifixion, of course. So you have this young man who approaches the Lord and he says, this is paraphrased, of course, I'm checking all the boxes. I'm doing everything right. What else do I need to do to gain the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus looks at him and says, okay, sell your possessions, give to the poor, follow me. And we know, we study scripture, that follow me, that was a very specific invitation for this man to become a disciple. It wasn't like, hey, yeah, you should come listen to what I have to say sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was, come be with me. Come be my brother. And it says in this story, the man walked away sad. He had many possessions. And here's the deal with that. That the Lord, he asks us to do things that are beyond what we can manage on our own. Right?
All the time.
All the time. Do you know something about that? All the time. But he never says, okay, go do the thing and then report back to me. And if you did a good job, then you can follow me. No, he invites this man to be a disciple before he's even gotten rid of his stuff and given to the poor. He says, here, go do this and come follow me. The man should have turned around, said, how do I do it? Help me do it. Peter walked on water. Why? The Lord commanded him and then gave him the grace to do it. The paralytic picked up his mat and went home because the Lord commanded him and gave him the grace to do it. And the Lord invites us to have a full life. He's not talking about possessions. He's talking about full of him. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? So when I am explaining Catholic minimalism to anyone, what I do is I say, consider the specific call that the Lord has for your life. Now, a lot of us have these certain vocations, the marriage, priesthood, etc. So we have that figured out, right? So what do you need in order to do that well? What do I need in order to do well as a homeschooling mom of five? Mm-hmm. And you keep that and then trim the fat. What is getting in the way, either materially or on your schedule, or is it, you know, social media on your phone, whatever it is with the time suck that's pulling you away from saying yes to the Lord.
So many things I want to jump off.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you gave some really rich examples. I just want to back up a pinch.
Yeah.
Because I think that you're speaking about something that I want to say a lot of us have experienced at some point to some degree. And not even people who are Catholic. where I see the cultural culture shifting, you know, millennials versus what was above us,
Gen X.
And then even above them was our parents, the baby boomers.
Well,
like it was all about stuff. It was about just accumulating, all about the...
Because they were raised by depression era parents.
Yes. And so in the millennials are saying, I'd rather have experiences.
Yeah.
They're this idea of quality in not just another knickknack started to matter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've seen it with people selling homes and buying tiny houses or RVs and deciding that 200 square feet ideally designed can be perfect.
Yeah, right.
As long as they're doing, you know, whatever it is that they feel called to do and they're prioritizing the things that bring them life. So we're seeing these echoes.
Yes.
Kind of in the culture.
Yes.
But then I love this intersection of how we can bring our faith into that.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes when we see the culture longing for or hungering for something, as Catholics, we actually know that if we can just pop the hood a little, we can tell them, this is why you hunger for this. This is why you desire something simpler or something more rich in your life.
Yes.
And so I'm hearing you beginning to talk about that, of kind of that why when we marry Catholicism with minimalism, it's not just a modern aesthetic,
right?
Right. Like it's not just that. It serves a deeper, it's a springboard for so much more.
Yeah.
So would you say that you found that to be true? This is not just about having modern decor and looking like things are black and white and simple?
Yes. Oh, totally agree. Because look what happened when I purged my home that was 1,200 square feet. We were able to fit a third and fourth baby in there, no problem. And then when we suddenly moved from Louisiana to Nebraska, my husband was working on the house and fixing it up so we could list it. And I packed the house totally by myself. And it was not a burden. It was simple to do. It was totally doable. Not only that. So logistically, does it make things easier? Yes. But in simplifying our home, and this is the case now, I'm communicating to my husband that I can be a good steward of what he's providing, that I'm satisfied with what he's providing. And also in turn, conveying that to the Lord too. Like, look at this home you've given us. I will do my best to be a good steward of this and to accept this gift with joy and then see how, through detaching from material possessions, you can make this space new. I think a lot of us have love-hate relationships with our home.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh, this house is so great. You're like, oh, I hate this house. It's a weird closet. Can we move? And I went through that with our home at one point. And then I was like, well, I could also rearrange.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that whenever I get into a lull with the house, it's usually just because we haven't taken our unique personalities, our unique selves, combined with a little bit of functionality that might be shifted, and then like put our thumbprints on the room.
Yeah.
Really put ourselves, because when you really make a space reflect your family values and just exactly who you are, now you have a home you love. Yeah. But I think it's so easy for women to get on social media and they see the influencers who live in like the gorgeous new build farmhouse or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and they
have the
homeschool rooms I've seen,
right?
Where I'm like, I think you spent $5,000 on wooden toys and pastel.
Whatever.
Yeah, like, right. And my kids, we have
all this Pottery Barn kids, didn't you?
And that can be, and maybe they're in situations where their husband has a really incredible income, and that's
right.
It's doable, but then it can create this creep within hearts of maybe families who have a smaller income of like discontentment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rift that then creates in a marriage.
Right.
I see it in Facebook groups of like, women disappointed or feeling like they have to work, even though they don't want to or feel called to, but they do it to maintain a lifestyle.
Right.
And that's hard.
And is God calling you to that lifestyle?
Right.
You know, if you really check that, I think that's so valuable. I know for a fact my my husband is my calling, right? That's like loving him is the main task, right? Not to,
yep.
You know, not to make a career out of it, but you know what I mean? Like
you were given to each other.
Right. And then raising the children. So working on our marriage, making sure, okay, how can I love Andrew today? How can I reflect the love of Christ to my children today? The mercy of Christ to my husband, the support of Christ to my husband. And knowing that that is the priority. And instead of, dang, I could really go for some new shiplap, you know, we would all love some new shiplap.
Yes. Or whatever the flavor of the moment is.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So I'm hearing from you. I mean, the example you gave of the rich young man, that was somebody obviously with a lot of resources. That's one end of the spectrum. On the other hand is like maybe somebody with a modest income and they need to make minimalism work, you know, right? For just function. This is right. What we need to do to be good stewards and prudent with our finances. And but what I'm hearing from you is that with Catholic minimalism, and I think this is true of just the gospel, to a certain degree, we're all called, no matter what our resources are, to this simplicity.
Yeah.
To detachment from stuff.
Yes.
To clearing the clutter to make room for the Lord.
Yeah.
Is that kind of at that heartbeat of why we would even pursue minimalism?
Yes, because when you're detached, then that means that material possessions specifically are in their right order. That you can have something that's valuable, and that's fine. That's good. Enjoy it. But know that it's a thing.
Yeah.
And you could be asked by the Lord tomorrow to give it away, you know, through simplicity and living with minimalism and practicing this for a really long time now. I mean, it's just how we live. Andrew and I have been able to be generous in ways that we didn't even consider before. We never would have considered before, or we would have thought there's no way we could ever give this thing or that thing away. But when you regard things as things, mm-hmm. and you see people as souls to love and support, then it really doesn't matter. And you can use minimalism to live a much bigger life. You know, you talked about millennials and experiences, and I went on a solo trip to Iceland. And
I loved following you through that.
So it's...
I loved creeping and watching.
It was the best. I was there for 6 days. And you know, it took me 3 years to save up for that trip because we are a single income family. We have 5 children. We have other priorities than me skipping across the pond on a joy trip, you know?
Yeah.
So but once I finally saved up enough and I went, you know, I got the funds through living more simply. I would hold up something that I would think, do I want to keep this or do I want to sell this and then have a cup of coffee in Iceland?
Okay. Putting things into perspective.
It really did. And then in being there, it was a beautifully spiritual experience. It was magnificent praying there, attending mass there, and seeing the glory of God revealed in the nature there. It was so, so good for my soul that if I had not let go of things to sell them, I would not have had that experience at all. Mm. That wouldn't be a part of my current relationship with our Lord. Mm. And it was extremely fruitful. So Iceland is my experience, right? I recognize that that's unique to me.
Yep.
But the general principle is there for everyone. Mm. That no matter what your station in life, you know, and we've had to live very simply out of necessity before, and even purging our things because we didn't have enough money to tithe. So we were using our material possessions to support others, to support the church. And that gave us so much joy because we knew that we could still contribute something, you know, and that there was value in it. So regardless of where you are financially, living simply puts things in that right perspective. And then it opens your heart to hear the voice of God, where you say, okay, how can I help you today? what do you want from me to love your people today?
Mm-hmm.
And give me the grace to do it.
Hmm. I love it. And I think, you know, maybe, again, like on one end of the spectrum, it's going to help you live a prioritized but full life on the means given. But I think on the other perspective, it's going to help you not get caught in the stuff. I mean, like the rich young man.
Yeah.
It can be so easy. You know, we talk about this often of just like our hearts can get wrapped up in stuff so easily. The enemy uses this as a strategy, and it's not wrong to have things, but it's wrong to love them and to have an identity in them and to be caught up in them. Our minds are always to be kingdom focused. And I think that developing kind of this minimalism, even though maybe you have a lot of resources, is kind of just a form of fasting.
Yeah.
And just keeping it in check. Let's keep this is what we do as Catholics.
Yeah, right.
Keep things in balance.
Yeah, right.
If we indulge in any one direction or another, we get unhealthy. And that the church is always teaching that, always inviting us back to that virtuous middle.
Oh.
I love how she's always doing that. You know, yeah. That's why we have Lent every year and Advent, and she's seasonal and always teaching us to kind of care about that balance and not get lost maybe in one side or another. So I love that. So let's talk practically.
Yeah.
You know, we've given a few examples here, and I love your Iceland example.
Yeah.
I loved watching that, and I was like, oh, I just love that you got to do that.
Yeah. And it was amazing because then I realized through Living Simply that that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us consider a vacation or whatever that thing is that you want, and you just tag it with someday?
Yep. Absolutely.
But I thought, son of a gun, I'm going to go as soon as possible.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And it's relegated to that someday status because of just like, you know, maybe not trimming up expenses, not intentionally spending, not trying to be a good steward. You only have 20 extra dollars at the end of the month that wasn't spoken for. And of course, nobody can do anything with that.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
Or you're always negative every month. Like, there isn't margin. You have to intentionally create it.
Right.
And
yeah, you really do.
You know, I'm sure you were using your budget
mm-hmm.
to make informed decisions on where the money was going to go, and some was going to go over to support the trip, and then the rest was going for the family and whatever your goals were. And I think that people watching this, that's the lesson. Discern what it is that they're maybe, what's their equivalent?
Yeah, right.
Of that dream or that thing that's being put inside their heart. And then you just start making margin for that.
Right.
And minimizing and getting rid of the chaff could help them do that.
Oh, absolutely. And there were some months when all I could contribute to my little like tin can of cash
mm-hmm.
that I had was...
Did you really have a tin can of cash?
I really did. And I keep it now. Like, it's in my drawer. And I'm like, it's representative. I love it. Still serves a purpose, right? Because minimalism.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this tin can where I just stashed, you know, $3,000 over the course of 3 years. And some months I couldn't contribute anything. Some months I could contribute $5. But knowing I was putting something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my children knew that this is a priority for me. So on my birthdays, sometimes I would get a fistful of change from some of my kids. It was so beautiful.
That's so sweet.
So examining within yourself, what is it that you desire? And trust that the Lord gives us desires so he can show us, I fulfill them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And praying, always praying. Like, I want this, Lord. So may I please have it. And if I can't, then give me the grace to bear this.
Yeah.
Because then he'll answer that too, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you see the jokes online of like, I'm just going to pay bills and then die.
Yeah.
Like phrases like that. It's like, no, you weren't created just to pay bills and then die.
Right.
You were created just to clean up crap.
Yeah.
Right. In all your free time, like as moms, like, no, in order to have a clean home, you do not need to sacrifice your downtime after the kids go to bed every single night for an hour and a half. Like, those are the wake up call moments of
right.
There might be something different.
So you were asking me about logistics.
Though. Yeah.
I apologize. I like interjected.
Oh, that's okay.
Go on.
Today's episode is brought to you by Creator Blessed, run by Maddie and Daniel Torres. This dynamic couple both work in ministry full-time, but they love working on their shop together. Maddie is the artist, and Daniel runs the printing, packaging, and shipping. They sell watercolor paintings of the saints. Maddie has painted over 350 saints, and she just keeps adding to the collection. They've turned those saints into stickers as well, and you can use them to bring inspiration to your everyday life by adding them to a water bottle, a laptop, or even in your car. Join their email list at shopcreatorbless.com to learn more about the sales that they have going on throughout the year, and make sure to follow them on Instagram as well to get to know them better. They're pretty incredible. That's shopcreatorblessed.com.
So practicals, how could this look in somebody's life? So Catholic minimalism, we've already given some examples of like getting rid of the toys or whatnot. And by the way, back to the house story.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just 50 years ago that families of 10 lived in 1,200 square foot homes, right? And it wasn't a deal. It wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a big deal.
Well, and nobody felt embarrassed about it, you know?
So, yes.
It's all relative and the time that you're in. And so don't forget, but yes, healthy, amazing families can live in smaller, more intentional spaces.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So stack
really well.
You get some bunk beds and then they love it.
Yeah, they love it.
We actually have a set of bunk beds that my dad had when he was growing up. 8 kids in the home.
Yeah.
1,200 square feet. They shared it with an older brother, and he even like carved his name in the wood. That's priceless to me to have that bunk bed set that he used to share. Okay, so we've talked about that. You mentioned earlier schedule. How can this spirit of Catholic minimalism come into that? Because I meet a lot of women that are like, they're stuck on the hamster wheel and their adrenals are tapped out and they don't know how to make the jigsaw work, but they stay on it.
Right.
Because they should, or they feel like they have to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, how could this apply?
I've spoken with so many parents who they want to purge their stuff. And then they say, well, who has time for that? And then I think, okay, your stuff is not where you need to start. Mm-hmm. It's your calendar.
Ooh,
what's our schedule for today? And does your schedule for today reflect the unique call that the Lord has for you? So again, going back to my vocation of being married to my husband, Andrew, and then we agreed a long time ago that I would be a stay-at-home mom and then I would homeschool them. So my day needs to reflect that first. One woman told me that teaching or being an aide in Sunday school was her vocation.
Huh.
I was like, okay, maybe you're talented for that. That is not your vocation. Your vocation is your husband. And she goes, well, I don't know. And when we recognize, okay, this is my first call, how can my day be oriented toward that? Sometimes we just have so much stuff going on, so many demands on ourselves, on each other, on our routines, activities that we've signed ourselves up for, being the chair of something, kids in sports, etc., right? There's a whole litany of things. Mm-hmm. It is sometimes completely appropriate to walk away from all of it and say, all right, we're just going to be us for right now.
We're just going to hard stop.
Hard stop.
Big no everywhere.
Big no everywhere. Why? So you can focus on what the Lord is calling you to do. And then make sure you're really killing it in that area. Do a great job being a wife. Do a great job being a husband. Do a great job being a parent. And, you know, I know COVID was so hard for so many of us. The silver lining in COVID for me was canceled plans.
Yes.
How many introverts?
Introverts.
Yes. Like, yay! Love canceled plans. Are you not going?
Yes, me neither.
Let's have a COVID party. You stay at your house, I'll stay at mine. Yes. You know, I think that was a tremendous blessing for so many of us, because where were we? We were at home with our people. And we didn't go into an office. We didn't go to the activities. And so what happened? Families became tighter. Or maybe you're like, I really need to be at the office. You know, sometimes that can happen too, of course. But I think having those hard no's everywhere helps you focus on what you need to be doing, what the Lord is asking you to do. And even though it's so taxing, Amanda, I grew up as a pseudo only child. So I'm the youngest of three. And my next sibling is about 8.5 years older than me. So when I was a little kid playing with dolls and stuff, my older siblings were in high school doing their anything. I played by myself all the time and I loved it. And then I grew up, got married, and had a bunch of people who surround me all day, every day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, remember how much alone time I had? it was great. And having this focus of saying no to things helps you thrive in that area and go beyond yourself. So the Lord asks things of us that are going to be maybe even contrary to our nature. Peter walked on water. People can't do that. But because Jesus said, come, and he did it. So the Lord can say, come, and you can do it if you're already where you need to be.
Or maybe you're an extrovert who just like loves being busy and loves being with people, but things are on fire at home. And yeah, he's going to give you the grace to just slam it all down and to get simple for a season.
And it doesn't have to be forever. It can be just a nice detox. Like, okay, we're wiping the slate to see what our priorities are. And then I will say yes to volunteering, or I will say yes to this thing at work, whatever it is, if it's in line with what the Lord is asking of me. And that's how you take Catholic minimalism and apply it to how you're spending your time. What is the Lord asking of me first? And you know what the scariest question I've ever asked my husband is? And I try to ask him daily now. God, tell me. Are you ready? What can I do for you today?
It's a servant's heart. So simple.
I'm trying to have a servant's heart. But when I ask him, I try to make myself ready to detach from whatever my plans are for that day.
Like, you had these homeschool plans and this trip to the zoo and this errand, but he's gonna,
like, okay,
call me to left field here.
You are my priority. So I'm gonna ask you, what can I do for you today? And I admit, when he's like, just say a prayer for me, I'm like, you got it. Done. No problem. I'll say a million prayers for you. But if he asks a certain thing like, oh, hey, I forgot this at home, could you run into the office? And whatever he asks of me, I move it to the top of my to-do list. Not because I'm amazing, but because I know God is asking me to love this man first. And I'll do that. And I know that he'll take care of everything else. If we just let go, if we didn't hatch, it doesn't mean that we're going to be robbed.
No.
Doesn't mean that we're going to be deprived of what brings us joy. It means that we are saying yes to God and then putting ourselves in a place to receive his blessing in return. It's beautiful.
There's more joy there.
There's so much more joy. John 10:10. No, that's the abundant life.
Yeah. And I think the enemy, he's tempting us or whispering that, like, that's the death of us when it's opposite.
Yeah,
it's when we come alive.
It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lived in me. And it, in addition to living simply being akin to fasting, it is also so deeply rooted in gratitude. You know, in having this prompting, like, oh, you're having your third kid, I guess you're moving. Like, well, suddenly my little house that I absolutely loved didn't look that great anymore. But once I realized, no, this is it. God is providing this home for me. So thank you, God. And I'm going to do what I can with it. And And taking that approach with material possessions, with how we spend our time, it'll change your world.
Mm. Amen. Even we mentioned earlier wardrobes.
Oh, yeah.
This might be the last thing. I'm so curious to hear your thoughts on it. We had discussed a little earlier, just like, what are your thoughts on like a mom suit? Or no.
Yeah,
mom. Wait, is that the wrong? That's the wrong.
mom jeans. What? Get ready.
What's the term? Oh, like a capsule wardrobe. That's
it. Yeah.
Or like having a uniform or like.
Right.
Is there a role for that? And like, could it really be a blessing?
Absolutely. I love the idea of having a capsule wardrobe. I have one myself. I like having just a few items that it can pair among these 25 things or whatever. And there are a bunch of different outfits. And nobody notices. And if they do, they don't say anything because nobody cares. You know?
Yes. And they don't notice.
Right.
Really.
Right. Something that helped me when I was paring down my wardrobe was realizing if I hated wearing something, because we all have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
This shirt works. I hate how I feel on this shirt.
Or I hate how I look. The dress that you need to like lose 10, 15 pounds in, and you like, it just is a torture.
Right. It really is.
And it makes you feel bad about yourself.
Hi.
As the years go by and you can't ever get back into it.
And when you see that dress glaring at you.
Yes.
And you, yeah, that, let go of the dress. Let it bless somebody else. A younger, thinner person. It's fine.
Somebody in their 20s.
But in having a capsule wardrobe, I like the simplicity of it. I like, I love thrift stores. Love thrift stores. And we have some really good ones around here.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get, you know, pieces for a song, that's really fantastic. And then you're not chasing after the next style because you know, I like what I have.
Mm-hmm.
The clothes that you hate how you feel in, you don't have to keep them.
Mm. Yeah.
Because while you're wearing them, you're self-conscious. You're not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So having a mom uniform, or like, I don't know, we should work on a term for that. But in having a set outfit, you know, your favorite pair of joggers and your favorite graphic tee or whatever it is. I have a bunch of graphic tees from different coffee shops all over Omaha. This is my favorite.
Oh, that's
fun. And then making sure you're comfortable and your wardrobe is versatile and go to it, you know? So if your goal is to be comfortable, let your capsule wardrobe reflect that. If you need to be professional, then let your capsule wardrobe reflect that. A mix of the two, right? So I know that I have things that I will not wear every day, but I'm holding on to them for math.
Yeah.
You know? So, and those are great, but it's also really nice when you're comfy at math too. So if you're going to have nice clothes, make sure you like how you feel in them, you know? I think that's another really great way to be a steward of not just finances, but of your own space. And it's another way to be grateful.
Mm.
Say, you know what? I have these things. These pieces are really just kind of tools almost. And when my favorite t-shirt rips or whatever, then boom, I have a brand new rag and it's going to do the great job, you know, and it's fine. It's fine. So being able to detach is very helpful, especially, I mean, I know you're familiar with little girl clothes. When we have one daughter, and before she was even born, her wardrobe was bigger than mine. And I was
purging all the things.
Southern girl. She was born down south. So she had so many clothes with all the ruffles.
Mm.
Before she was even out of the womb, I had purged her wardrobe.
Why now?
And so many people, especially moms, when our kids outgrow stuff, we pass it on.
Right. Yes.
And that is such a blessing. That was a tremendous blessing for our family. And allowing that piece of clothing or this toy to become a blessing for other children.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maternity clothes, you wear those for how many months? And they can be so pricey when they're brand new. So, and the uniform is especially important when you're 9 months pregnant. You know,
just like, a couple outfits.
She's needed a couple for a few more weeks. Nelly sign. But yeah, it's great. And it takes away from that decision fatigue that you can encounter too.
And I think that the same principle can be applied to your kids' wardrobes as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I sell at a kids' consignment sale twice a year. And I'm always shocked, you know, when I see women bringing clothes in to sell. And I know they had two kids or three kids, and the volume, I'm like, I think my kids only have 10 outfits.
Yeah.
Total. And like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to do laundry all the time.
Oh my gosh.
They need to be able to fit in just these couple drawers.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be sitting around folding and...
Well, it helps the kids too. I mean, when
they get a few favorites.
Fewer clothes and their favorites, then, I mean, my boys, they have enough dress shirts or polos or whatever, but they have their favorite that they wear every single Sunday. Every Sunday. It's the same three shirts that I see among my oldest three. And I'm like, you wanna switch it up?
No, I like this.
These work.
These are good.
Yeah, this is good.
Got a capsule wardrobe going on.
Oh, great.
But then they get to wear their favorites, and then you have less laundry.
Yeah, right.
And then when you go to sell or gift to somebody else down the road, they're not receiving, like, I'm overwhelmed sometimes. I see like 100 shirts, you know, on the rack, and I just thought, how could your child have picked from these clothes?
Oh, my goodness. You know, they don't. You know, having fewer possessions is really, really healthy, psychologically speaking, for everyone. But then when you are putting possessions, clothing, toys in front of a child whose brain is in formation, developing, then they don't have that overwhelm. And they will be able to choose without any kind of anxiety coming back at them. You know, I mean, my kids love books and Legos. And those are the things that I don't purge a whole lot because all of that can
reuse them.
Used.
Absolutely.
But then it's the other toys, the flash in a pan toys that they're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I got it for Christmas 3 years ago. You know, and they don't care.
I got it for Christmas 2 weeks ago.
It's
already burned out.
Right? Yes. Yes. Totally. Totally.
But yeah, Legos, Magnetile, book.
How
these are more timeless. They get a lot of mileage.
Oh, so much.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you and I never have a shortage of words.
I know.
And actually, one of the things about us is, Jonathan used to joke that every time we would hang out, he'd see me 5 hours later. Because we can just keep talking.
Yeah.
But I don't want to overwhelm those who've been tuning into this. There's been enough nuggets that they can go immediately begin applying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining on this interview. Before we go, I do have a quick lightning round.
Let's do it.
That we are going to do. All right. First job.
My first job? Mm-hmm. I was a librarian.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. Libraries are filthy, by the way. Wash your hands after you come home.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Are you a spender or a saver?
It's funny. So I'm a minimalist, but one of my like bad coping mechanisms
is thrifting.
Right. Yeah. It's so I can definitely get into the shopper mode.
Mm.
But then, man, when I shift gears into saving, I am gung ho. So I'm all for whichever one
fits the moment.
Right. Not the healthy.
Balanced.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just shifting.
I have so much balance.
All right, giving basket at church. Are you envelope, cash, or electronic giving?
Envelope or cash. And actually, our parish, they don't pass the basket ever. It's always in the back of the church. So
you just drop it.
Just drop it right in, and it's envelope or cash, either one.
Very good. What is the hardest thing for you to spend money on? Or your least favorite thing to spend money on?
Kids' shoes.
Ah, yes. They're good for like 2 weeks.
They're so short, so short. And I'm okay like passing them down my boys, but it's not necessarily that good for a child to wear a used pair of shoes because of the soles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll fit
to another kid's
foot. And then that's like not physically healthy.
Mm.
So typically we get our kids' shoes new.
Mm.
I try to go just so Scrooge on those. I'm like, cheapest pair. Of course, all my kids are wide size.
Ooh. So they need the specialties.
Oh my God.
So that's the one for me. Where I'm like, Jesus, I'm dressing you.
Yes. Or somehow, yeah, you end up with tons of shoes, but then somehow they don't fit anybody.
I'm like, whose are these? And they all point at each other. I'm like,
and then now we all need more shoes.
Right.
Even though the bin is full. All right, last and not least. Who has been the biggest influence on your relationship with money in your life?
Ooh, oh my goodness. I would say, you know, you can't get away from like your parents and how they raised you to think about money. But with regard to my relationship with money, I'd have to say just the minimalist bloggers that I've read have been my biggest influence, specifically Joshua Becker, who was...
Was it all Becoming Minimalist, or was that his book?
Becoming Minimalist is his site, and his work is grounded, and his thoughts on finances especially are phenomenal. So
awesome. All right, so if people want to keep up with you, they want to hear more, you know, you do speak on other things as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, how can they keep in touch and get a hold of you?
So you can find my social channels at katysiba.com. And then, you know, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and it's kind of a blend of family and business stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And your handle is Katie Siba. Very good.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks for joining us on this interview. Everybody else who's watching, go watch another interview, and God bless. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the WalletWin program at WalletWin.com.
Music in this episode's from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.